Father in heaven, we thank you that we're in your house today. We thank you for all of those that are watching live stream now, God. We're all in one, all in unison. Today, your name is glorified. Today on Sunday, all over the world, your name is glorified today, a day set aside for you, Father, because you're worthy. And Lord God, it's been on my heart this week how temporary all of this is and how fragile all of this is. And dear God, we thank you for eternity. We thank you for an eternal home with you where there's no more pain, no more suffering, streets of gold, mansions, eternity with you, God, in your presence. Father God, we thank you for that. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Father. We await your return. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated.
Good morning, church. So we have the opportunity this morning to do one of the celebrations that we should have done back in May, but unfortunately, due to circumstances in our world, we had to wait a little while. But we wanted to be sure that we had the opportunity to do so. So today is Senior Sunday. We are celebrating the seniors from our church. And so I'm going to call them up here, and we have a gift from them, a gift to them from the church. And then after that, I'm going to pray over all of them. Due to COVID and everything like that, we do want to observe social distancing. So I'm going to say, if you are a part of the family, you are welcome to come up and pray. Other than that, we'd love for you to reach out a hand and pray for them as I pray for them at the end, okay? So first off, we have Pearson Sanders. Micah Montez. Abigail Higginbotham. Hannah Matthews. And Dylan Sove. So as always, we try and get communication out to our church family as promptly as we can before we do these services, because we don't want to miss anybody that's graduating, so we have a chance to celebrate with them as well. And I just wanted to ask, just to be safe, is there anybody that did graduate back in May or June or going to graduate in July, wherever your service may be? Is there anybody else in this service today that did graduate that we happen to miss? We do have extras for remaining seniors. Okay. Other than that, I'm always one that when I sat through, I'm always like, well, oh, what are they getting? Like, what are the gifts? And like, that was always something that I questioned and thought about when I was there. So I wanted to say real quick, they're all got a Bible with their name on it, and that's a gift from us. But then they also got a book called How to Stay Christian in College. It's a book that I found 4-5 years ago, and I'm not about to pronounce the dude's last name. You can ask one of them, and they'll show you the book. Because it's really long and I don't want to mess it up. So, but this book basically is just another way for them to hopefully take the faith that they've had growing up from their parents, from this church, from everything else in their lives, and take that into the very unknown place that college is nowadays. So with that being said, if y'all don't mind spreading out a little bit so families can go, social distance and all that fun stuff. parents, family, if you'd like to come up and gather around your student, we'd love for you to come up so we can pray. And parents, if you don't want to, I mean, it's your discretion. And like I said before, the rest of us, if y'all would just reach out a hand as we pray for these seniors, I just would ask that you join me. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity and just to be here once again. God, I thank you for the resiliency of this senior class, because there is not a person in this room that can say they've gone through what they have gone through this year. From not having the last few months of school, to having two graduations that were not in the month that they were supposed to do, to them going off into colleges and universities where they might or might not have physical classes, and they might start their college career virtually. God, this is truly an unprecedented time, as we have said many, many times the past couple of months. But regardless of this unprecedented time, God, we know that you're constant. And we pray that you will give these students the assurance and the comfort that comes only from you. And they walk into those universities and they walk onto those campuses knowing that you're with them regardless of where they go. God, I pray that they find a place that they can be plugged in to where they can have the spiritual recharge to just carry on and day-to-day live for you. We just pray over each of these seniors and their families as they start the the moving from one place to another. God, I pray for safety. I pray for just the opportunity for last minute get-togethers and just opportunities for that family to once again have time before they go off on their own. And God, I just pray that you remind them that we have their back as a church body, and we are part of their family as well. I just pray that you will lead, guide, and direct these seniors, and I pray that you will give them the opportunity at whatever campus they're going to love you and to share you with others, because that's what we're called to do. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Here. Congratulations, all you seniors. Appreciate you guys very much. We are going to continue to worship with our offering this morning. We have the offering plates up here on the altar table that you can bring forward. I know many of you are doing the online giving. If you are part of our virtual audience, you can go to our website or our app and do the online giving that way. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are blessed to belong to you. You have given us the awesome privilege to be called children of God. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. I thank you for the financial faithfulness of this church body, God, through these very uncertain and difficult times. I pray blessings on them, the servants and the givers of these gifts. And may these gifts further your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Come.
Can everybody see the TV screens? Because you're going to be looking at something up on the big TV screens. Okay? Everybody got a good view? All right, Lee, you got them up, but don't turn them on just yet, okay? Are we good back there, Arliss? Okay. Technical difficulties this morning already, so hopefully it'll work. Can y'all hear me okay with my mask on? Yeah. Okay, good. So how's everybody this week? Everybody had a good week? Yeah. Yes, are you loving the heat? No. you get to go swimming. That's a good thing. So, yeah. So, this week, my little granddaughter and her aunt went to the zoo. Have any of y'all been to the zoo lately? Yes? Huh? You went the other day, didn't you? Yeah. So, they saw lots of different animals. So, what are some animals that we see at the zoo? Now, tell me. What? Monkeys? What? Tigers. Is there a tiger or is it a lion? It's a lion. Okay. What else? Do you see a zebra? How about turtles and giraffes? How about snakes? Yes. And spiders? Yes. And fish? Yes. There's all kinds of animals out there. Isn't God amazing that he created all those animals? Right? You know? So I also got to thinking, you know, God just didn't create animals. He created plants. He created our world. He created the cloud and the sun, the moon, the stars. Did he create everything? Yeah, so I got to thinking, you know, there's probably some things that we've never seen before that God has created. Did you know that? Do you think you've seen everything God's created? No. So I thought, okay, Google, what are some crazy, wonderful creations? And so I found some pictures of things that God has created. Now, some of them I've seen, some of them I haven't seen, but I thought we would talk about them this morning. So our first picture, okay, is it up? I know, I need the picture, you know, so, okay, are we going to have a technical difficulty? Okay, well, maybe, Yes. Okay. Well, I'll just the first picture I can tell you about, and then I can tell you about a couple of other ones, and then we'll kind of go through the rest of them, okay? So the first picture is pictures of stars. Does everybody see stars at night? Do you know that one star shines brighter than our sun does? And there's how many stars in the heavens? More than you can count. That's right. And then there is a, how about an ostrich? Have you ever seen an ostrich? Yeah? Yeah? Do you know something interesting about an ostrich? That his eye is bigger than his brain. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And then there's an elephant. Has everybody seen an elephant? Do you know that an elephant is the only animal that can't jump? Have you thought about that? Does everything else jump? But do the elephants jump? No, they don't. That's right. Are we going to get my other pictures up? Maybe. No? Can you go? Yes? Don't y'all love technology? And these are some great pictures. Let me tell you what I found. They were very interesting. Okay. Well, you want me to keep, let me just move on? Okay. So, well, if we get them up, that'll be fine. We'll talk about them. But you know, there's something that God created that's the most amazing thing that he created. Do you know what it is? What? It's us. Have you ever thought about us being an amazing creation? Wonderful, creative? Do you think God was creative when he made us? We have a heart that beats, the blood that flows through our bodies. We have nose, we have eyes, we have ears. We can smell, we can taste, we can sing, we can dance, we can jump, we can praise God. Isn't that amazing that he created us? Yeah. And so did you know something I found out about your nose? That your nose can smell 1 trillion smells. Did you know that? Did you know that's a lot of smells, right? Yeah. Some can smell better than others. Mine doesn't smell very good, but that's okay. God created us each one uniquely and amazingly wonderful. So, you know, it tells us in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's creations. We are created to belong to Jesus. God created you and all of us to belong to him. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Well, I guess some other pictures, no? Okay. All right. Well, I'll do this again because I want to show these other pictures. All right. You know, God is so amazing that he loves us. He cares about us. He cares about creating us. He made us uniquely, wonderfully made by him. Can we be thankful for that this week? All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. Just, Lord, just bless us as we move through this day, Lord. And, Lord, help us just to remember that you created us and that you love us and that you care what's going on and that you are with us and watching over us. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay. Come on. Here. Come on, Miss Ellen.
Good morning, church. You know, we couldn't get the pictures up, but the live stream came on right at 10:30 online community. I bet they're excited about that. Working through some technical issues there. We're 1 for 2 today, so, you know. Man, I lost my train of thought. It's prayer time, right? It's prayer time. Okay. Well, welcome, those of you who are in our sanctuary and online. Go ahead and register your attendance with us if you don't mind doing that. And if you are joining us maybe for the first time or maybe the second or third time, if you would like to leave your information with us, there is a spot on the app for guest. So if you would like to register your attendance with us, give us more information, you can do that. If you're not, if you don't have our app downloaded, you can go to your app store and do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene, and you shouldn't get a hit on that. And God bless you for being with us this morning. Family camp is going online. You guys have been made aware of that, and that set of videos goes live at 10 a.m. this Saturday morning, this coming Saturday, the 18th. And there is a packet of information with some supplies in it that goes along with those videos, and those can be picked up this week on Wednesday from 9 to 5, 6:30 to 8, and on Thursday from 9 to 5. And if that doesn't work for any of you families, you can get with Carlene, and she can get that information to you. Jeff shared in his email yesterday that we are planning on having a picnic and swim fellowship at Camp Butman on the 16th of August from 2 to 7 p.m. And so we're going to press through and pray that that works out for our church. So come join us for that time of fellowship. Let's go ahead and stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Marv wanted me to report that they had a really, really good elementary camp this week. Right, Marv? And I know Marv was involved. Ben was part of the counseling team. And how was that, Ben? Did you survive those elementary kids? Good, good. Anybody else that participated in that? I know we had a couple more sponsors from our church. Lydiana, Bradford, McNally, Grace, Lily McClendon. All right, sound like a good week. And praying that those seeds that were planted this week will take root and spring into a mighty harvest at some point. Thank you guys for serving. Just trying to think about our prayer time this morning, there's probably one thing that's on all of our minds and hearts, right? I just want to, I don't know, just pray into, I guess, the blessing, the struggle, the things that we're going through, the things our culture is going through. It's good to see Amanda Duke and her bunch, her whole office staff, Dr. Randall's office staff, all 12 of them contracted the virus. And four of them spent time in the hospital, and they're all out. Are y'all back at work yet? Or tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Good. So it's real, folks. I mean, it affects some, and others seemed not to be affected. And, Jeff shared this in his email. This is a time we really need to give each other grace, I believe. There are differences of opinion on face masks, and we just need to respect each other's opinion. We need to give each other grace. I was thinking about the things that could possibly divide this church, and this church has experienced incredible unity. Man, it's just phenomenal, the unity ever since we've been here. Ever since Jeff's been here as our pastor, that may have something to do with it. We've experienced incredible unity. And there's no fussing and fighting. There's no agendas. People aren't arguing over the color of the walls, what we need to paint them, the carpet style. I've been in churches that that's been the case, but not this fellowship. So I don't think those things are going to divide us. Doctrine's not going to divide us. But just little simple things, maybe perhaps, about not respecting each other's opinion in regard to maybe face masks and social distancing. We have to give each other grace. Church, can we do that? Can we do that as we move forward? All right, I don't know why I said that, but it was just on my heart. It was on my heart. So let's pray. too much. Just connect with the Lord where you're at. Just express your love for Him, your affection for Him, your needs to Him, your desires for Him to move in certain ways. Just spend a little time expressing that to the Father. Father, we declare this morning that You are good, You are holy, and You're righteous. God, You're sovereign. Father, nothing escapes Your notice. Nothing gets past You, God, that You don't allow to happen. So, Father, we trust You. Lord, we don't know the outcome of this virus situation, Lord. Cases are increasing. They're not decreasing, God, but You're still on the throne. Your wisdom, Your knowledge, Your power has not diminished one bit. And Father, I just can't help but to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14 about Your people humbling themselves, turning from our wicked ways, seeking Your face. God, You will hear us from heaven. And Lord, Your promise is You'll heal our land. Lord, Congress getting their act together is not going to do it. Governors coming together will help, but that's not going to do it, Lord. The thing that will heal our land is if we, Your people, cry out to You. So, Father, forgive us, God, for maybe not taking that charge seriously. Forgive us for yielding to others to do that for us. Only Your people can do that. So, Father, I'm grateful that we have that opportunity. I'm grateful for grace that sustains us, Lord, when we don't press into You. Father, stir our hearts. Stir our hearts deeply. To where we know, God, that You are not just the best option. God, You're our only option. So, God, we just ask this morning in the mighty name of Jesus that You move in power. Move in power. Thank You for sustaining Dr. Randall's staff. Thank You for getting them back to work. And we pray that You give wisdom to those in the medical community, the scientific community. God, we also ask that You just move. God, I pray for those who are discouraged this morning. I pray for encouragement. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling financially because of this crisis. I pray, God, for provision for them. Lord, You've got Your eye on them. Oh, God, just pour out Your Spirit on Your church so we can represent Jesus to a world that's hurting and struggling. Well, Father, we praise You and thank You for this time. And Lord, as we continue to worship, God, I just pray that You free us up. I pray against distractions, Lord. The things that would keep us from worshiping you in spirit and truth. Father, we love you, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Once more.
Good morning again. Are you a little perkier this week than last week? Man, we'll have to get some whoopee cushions or something to liven things up a little bit. Joe, you think that'd be good? Yeah. Well, welcome to our worship service this morning. If you are viewing us online, our live stream, we're especially glad you're here as well. And if you are our guest this morning, we love having you here. I hope you feel loved this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ. And at the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and have a free gift. And we'd love to meet our guests and get to know you a little bit. That'll be immediately after the service today. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. That is right before 2 John, in case you're looking for it. 1 John. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We ask you now to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I also wanted to say, we failed to mention also Elijah Bradford was at the camp this past week. And Marv and Diane, how many years have you guys been leading that camp out there?
Several.
I know my girls were in your camp. Yeah, wow. 1983 is when y'all began that? Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. Is awesome. That is awesome. Thank y'all for your leadership. And so today I ran across this letter. This woman had been engaged to, and she had refused the engagement, and she was beginning to regret that, and so she penned this letter. Let me read this, just a few lines here. Let me read this to you. Dearest Tommy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. So today's message is our weapon is love. Our weapon is love. And I'll tell you, I actually was going somewhere else this week, and I was on Monday at noon, it's been a couple of months or so, 30 or so pastors, we have a Zoom call and just kind of how things are going and what's your church doing, what's that church doing, and what can we do better and so on. So I've been trying to communicate with these other pastors, and a good friend of several of ours, Pastor Jay Miller, made a statement this past week that really got me thinking. And what he said was, as the church, our weapon is love. That's a soak in for just a second. Our weapon is love. And that's the title of my sermon today. Shifted gears because I began to meditate on that thought, and I just really felt that was a profound statement, something that we needed to dig into a little bit deeper. And most of you have been exposed. I think Brother Larry may have even talked about the Greek definitions of love a few weeks ago. I'm not going to get into all of those, but basically the different in the Greek language. We hear love and we just think love. I mean, it's just kind of a singular type of thinking, but they break it down in the Greek. It can be a friendship love. It can be a parent-child love. It can be a sexual kind of intimacy love. It can be hospitality. It can be self-love. But there's this word agape that many of you have been exposed to. This word agape is this selfless love, where there's nothing expected back in return. I just love because I just love. There's nothing to come back. Did you know that these five verses I read today, and if you really go and read the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 4, it's many more times, but in these five verses, do you know how many times that word agape is used? I counted them up. 11. 11 times. And they're not talking about this friendship or a parent-child love or any of a sexual love or any of these other ways. In every instance, it is this word agape or a form of agape 11 times in five verses. It's almost like God wants to tell us something. It's almost like he's trying to talk to us, church. I've been preaching on this for several weeks now, trying to hear from the Lord and convey. And I don't say this boastfully, but I'm just saying, I think the Lord's had some things to say through me the last few weeks about this. And I don't say that boastfully. If you have not heard those messages, I encourage you to go back to our website and listen to those, because I think the Lord is speaking to us. I know he's speaking to me, and I've said this several times that these last several weeks that these messages are more for me than they are for you. I really believe that because I'm struggling. Anybody else struggling? It's like the world's gone mad, and you just feel like you're just treading water. What do we do? I'm telling you guys, if the church doesn't shine through these times, we're in trouble. Our nation's in trouble. Our world's in trouble. Our culture's in trouble. This is our time to shine. When things are going great and smooth, everybody's happy, right? But when things are chaotic, that's the time for God's people to shine. Light and salt to the earth. So I'm going to move right in. We're going to kind of unpack this passage today, these five verses that I just read. And the first thing I want us to hear is, and I think the Lord wants us to hear, is God loves you. It all starts right there. If you don't understand that, how can we love as Christ loves if we don't even know how Christ loves? We must understand how he feels about us personally. I remember You know, and y'all have heard my testimony, and I won't go into all of it, but I just a little clip here. I was raised with a great mom and dad, took me to church and taught me all things and demonstrated what it means and what it looks like to be a godly person, a Christian. But somehow I just thought that it was just about being a good person. How do you go 30 years and miss it? And go to be in church, I've said it before, but you know, being standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. And going to church doesn't make you a Christian. We have to understand what Christ has done for us. And I remember for me, it was on a walk to Emmaus. I was 31 years old. It was October 1991. And matter of fact, I just reconnected with the guy that was sitting on my table with me. I just reconnected with him yesterday. I just kind of, it's like his name was Craig Culp, and he was from Lubbock, and I thought, I wonder if old Craig Culp's still around. And I got on Facebook, and I found Craig Culp, and I texted him, or I sent him a message, and I said, is this the same Craig Culp that worked to walk to Emmaus in October 91 at Camp Butman? And he came back and said, yeah, that's me, man, 29 years ago. And I told him, I said, the Lord used you in my life, 29 years ago. I wanted him to hear that. I wanted him to understand that he was light to me. And I understood for the first time that weekend that no, it's the Christian journey is not about being good. It's about a God that's good. It's about this God that loves us, that loves us so much. I had this passage today in verse 7 and 8, it says, dear friends, love comes from God. He's the source. If we don't get it, the source of love, how can we love? It's hard in this, and I'll tell you, if you try to love in your own strength in this day and time, you're going to find yourself very angry if we try to do this in our own strength. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God because God is love. I got a phone call from a lady that she wasn't a member of our church, but she visited here often, and she has moved to another town. And she called me, actually emailed me this past week and wanted to know if I she was getting married, wanted to know if I would do a wedding, if I would do a wedding for somebody that didn't go to our church. And so I called her and we talked, and long story short, this person that she, I don't know this, her fiance, but the one thing she asked me, or one thing she told me was, he's not a believer. And I said, now look, I don't want to be a downer. I don't want to discourage you, but I'm just telling you that, what I would require marital counseling when I marry someone. And one of the things that I will talk to you about is Ephesians 5, where it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I said, if your fiance doesn't know how Christ has loved him, how can he love you the way Christ loved him? And I felt kind of bad telling her that. I said, I'm not telling you to break it off with this guy. I'm just telling you, it's rough. It's going to be rough. Married to someone that doesn't share your faith. If you don't know how God loves you, how can you love like God? She's a sweetheart, and I think she took it okay, but I told her, I said, you need to pray about this, and you call me back when you want to talk some more. We'll talk some more about it. Secondly, not only does God love you, but the cross proves it. It demonstrates it. I've talked with people that's like, well, I've had all these horrible things happen in my life. I just don't know if God loves me. And I said, he does. You want me to tell you how I know? Because he got nailed to a cross for you. So it's settled. You know, no matter what this life throws at us, it's settled. Christ didn't have to go to the cross. We've talked about this many, many times. He told the disciples, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and man, it is not going to go well for me. I'm going to be beaten, falsely accused. My friends are going to desert me and betray me. I'm going to be spat upon, and I'm going to be nailed to a cross, and I'm going to be killed. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise. He knew what he was getting into, and he did it. Why? Because he loves you. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Now, so I think in the rest, this next verse, we get this wrong as the church. We think that it's, oh, well, have you accepted Christ? Do you know how much God, I mean, do you know, have you made the decision to love God? Listen to verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Hello? Is anybody listening out there? We put the emphasis on what we do, even when it comes to like baptism and things, you know, all these things. Like, what have we do? Are we being good? Are we doing all these things? Are we've chosen God? No. He loves us. He's chosen us. He loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now listen to this, I love this in Romans 8. It says, God demonstrates his love for us. There it is. Because we were really, really good people. Is that what it says? God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not like he hung on the cross for the best of us when we really got our act together. No, we were knuckleheads. Anybody else a knucklehead in here besides me? I'm not sure that knucklehead's in the scripture, but it should be. When we were knuckleheads, Christ died for us. Scripture also says that our righteous acts are but filthy rags. Not the worst of us, filthy rags, the best of us. The best we can be outside of Christ is filthy rags. God loves you. The cross proves it. And then thirdly, now we're not let off the hook, church. So far it's been God doing for us. Now listen to this third point. God loves us. The cross proves it. We are called to love like Christ. That's the commandment, the great commandment. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Dear friends, since God so loved us, verse 11, we ought to also love one another. Now listen to this. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we don't love, how can we even know God? So here's the challenge. I mean, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. So in this day and age when literally when it just seems like the world's gone mad and people are doing and saying things all the time, it's like sometimes I feel like my head's just going to explode. Anybody else? I just feel like it's going to explode. And so the question for me is, if we're called to love like Christ, how do we do that? How do we do that? And here's it seems simple, but it's not. It takes self-surrender. But if you look at one of the passages that I encourage you to memorize is Galatians 5:22, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And notice the very first one, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So when we are full of God's Spirit, we're going to produce God's fruit. And the very first one on the list is love. We're going to love. Now, our culture is confused even what that word means. To our culture, to love is to say, no matter what you're doing, it's okay. Because that's okay for you, so it must be okay. That's not love. I want to ask you, any of you, and I've used this example before, but when your children are little, is it because you love them, is it okay to let them play out in the traffic? No. Sometimes we would pull our our daughters into the yard and might even paddle their little behind. Because why? Because we love them. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that we this word tolerance is tossed around a little bit in our a lot in our culture. I wanna kind of talk about that a second. Tolerance, here's the true definition of tolerance. Tolerance is to love someone even when we disagree with them. Someone may be out here and we just like, man, I don't know about what's going on over here. But I love you anyway. That's tolerance. But our culture is teaching us that tolerance means that we must accept all truth is valid. That it's okay to do this or that because somebody wants to do it. So if we are going to be tolerant, we have to accept that. We have to embrace that. That's not tolerance. Tolerance is we disagree, but I love you anyway. So we need to understand that before we move on about love. And then finally, so there's this pressing in to the Spirit, this trying to ask the Lord to magnify and multiply the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, and we will produce the fruit of that Spirit. Number one on the list is love. Most of you probably have read what's come to be known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read a few verses out of the love chapter. So it's telling us, Paul is trying to teach us in God's word, what does it mean to love? What does that look like? And I'm just going to hit a few verses here. Love is patient. Man, we need that. Love is kind. Even when people are driving us crazy, even when people aren't nice to us, love is kind. Love is, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. See, sometimes we can start thinking that I got my act together and everybody else is losing their mind. Maybe there's a flip side to the coin, perhaps. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Man, if ever a culture needed to hear that, love is not self-seeking. One of the things I want to tell you, if you're struggling with depression or anxiety or whatever, go serve somebody. Go do something for somebody that you don't have anything to gain from it. Go do something nice. Mow somebody's yard. Carry their groceries in. Open a door for someone. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. How many of us have a mental notebook of what people have done to us? Love does not delight in evil. Well, you know, that tells me that there is such a thing as evil. It doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. What does that tell me? It tells me there's something that's true. There is evil. There's something that's true. There's something that's not true. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And I'm telling you, church, that man, I'm preaching to myself here. You can't overlove. We can't do too much loving. Because it never fails. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The very first fruit of the Spirit listed is love. Church, in this volatile time, this crazy time, where people are saying and doing all sorts of weird things, our weapon is love. If you bow your head with me. Father, we confess that we don't know how to love like you in our own strength. We are sorely inefficient in that regard. Teach us how to love like you. I pray, God, that you would show us when to stand up and how to stand up for truth and yet bathe everything we do, everything we say, whether it's face-to-face with people or whether it's on social media. Help us bathe everything we do in love, your love. We draw near to you, and we ask you to draw near to us. We press into you, Holy Spirit. Magnify and multiply yourself in us. Teach us to love like you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, the altar rail is open. I will be here if you need someone to pray with you. I will also be in the foyer down at that end after the service to meet our guests. If you're able, as we close.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. Carry the cross, love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah.
Good news to carry us forward, church. We have it to share. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names. You're the Lord of all.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.